Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 11th, 2010. I am your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Shift to Soul-Centered Communication, with my guest, Life Coach Linda Luke. I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press pound one to let me know you have a question or a comment, and then I will know that you want to get on the air. If you are on the web chat or on the website where you can see the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see those and read them on the air for you. Now, if you're listening to the recorded version of the show, that means you're listening after the show has been recorded live, I want to welcome you also and thank you for making time to listen to the show. Regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Over on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter. You can click the like button on my Facebook page. And most important, add yourself as a friend of the show. Now, I know from my statistics that most of you have your own businesses. So before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool I used to help me discover my ideal client. It's the Ideal Client Action Guide. It helped me to realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to hit a bullseye. By working through the activities that came with an audio recording, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you by visiting www.idealclientactionguide.com. If you're ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal client is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite all of you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can sign up for life coaching if you are ready to make that U-turn in your life, Y-O-U-turn. I'm also now booking personal appearances for 2011. So if you want me to appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, your event, just submit a request over on my website. You'll see a tab at the top of the page that says Book Flora. Or you can email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, to get at that goal, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Linda Luke, a life coach who has been supporting people in creating more peace in their lives since 2003. She has multiple coaching certifications, 25 years experience in managing small business, and is currently in process with a master's degree in spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica. Linda is passionate about supporting her clients in shifting the things in their lives that block them from what they want or that disturb their peace. She has a unique blend of spiritual and practical skills that allow her to move smoothly from helping someone heal issues of the past to providing skills and tools for the present or creating a vision or plan for their best life. She also works with small business leaders as they create more balance and success in their lives and businesses. Now, Linda is dedicated to helping people become their best selves and live their best lives. Today, Linda will be discussing how to shift to soul-centered communication. Now, we all know communication skills are important to express ourselves and connect with others, but it's how effective we are at this that influences our lives, all areas of our lives. On today's show, you will learn how soul-centered communication can improve your relationships and interactions. You will learn how to present fully. You will learn how to listen deeply, express yourself clearly, and see others in a way that takes the charge out of challenging conversations. It is my pleasure to welcome Linda Look. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Flora. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today.
Well, thank you for agreeing to come. This is a very important topic because one of the things that it seems to be lacking in our world today is communication.
At least
adequate
communication.
Yes. Our communication skills seem to be lacking in a lot of areas, and until we can do something about that, boy, it's a never-ending problem, isn't it?
Yes. So many people, you know, we're probably talking more, texting more, in contact more, mm-hmm. but the real truth of really experiencing the other person and being with them and having them experience who you are is becoming a lost art. And it's something that we've all struggled with for a long time anyway. So these skills can be very important.
Well, you know what? A lot of people probably are wondering what I was wondering when I first heard this topic, and that is, what is soul-centered communication? We think we know what communication is, but what is soul-centered communication?
Well, soul-centered communication is a way of relating to people that honors everyone in the conversation. It's a way of communicating clearly, empowers relationships, and also helps bridge gaps. But most importantly, it's about the way you interact with other people in the world. And the basic premise is that each and every one of us is a soul or a spirit. Some people prefer the word spirit. And so we all come into the world as a soul or spirit, and then all these things happen in our lives and create thoughts and beliefs and statics in our lives. And so then we have things that we do. We also have bodies we inhabit and ways that we look. And a lot of times we are relating to people based on what they do and how they look. And so with soul-centered communication, what you're doing is you're actually looking through that. And you're looking in someone's eyes if you're in person, or you're just looking at that person and seeing that this is a spirit. This is a soul in front of me. And that's how I'm going to relate to them.
Now, what are some situations where this will work? Give us some examples.
Well, I believe it can work everywhere and anywhere. I love communicating with people this way in person when I can look at them eye to eye, but I can tell you that this is how I relate to all of my coaching clients who, you know, may be in a completely different state than I am and I'm just talking to on the phone. It can work on a personal scale, it can work on a business scale, and it could work on a world scale. It allows people to really feel heard and understood. And so if you really think about that, if people in any arena of your life were able to feel heard and understood, what would that change? How would that improve?
The thing that came to mind when you said heard and understood was the recent reports of the suicides in the Army. There's been a disproportionate number of guys committing suicide, and these are guys who've returned from combat. Sometimes they weren't even in combat, but they were in the war area. And one of the things that the article was saying was that some of them were not coming forth to discuss what they were feeling, the experiences they were going through, because they were afraid that they wouldn't be understood, that, you know, people would not believe them or that people would think less of them if they admitted that they were having hallucinations or whatever, you know, their problems might be. So it sounds like this is exactly what you're talking about, is if we can make people feel that by talking to us and sharing things, they will be heard and they will be understood, they're more likely to come forth with things. Is this right?
That is so true. It's like bringing coaching skills to your daily lives and conversations. And, you know, a big part of this is creating a sense of safety. When I work with my clients, I call it sanctuary, creating sanctuary, so that they feel they can express themselves and they know that, you know, it's also approaching the people without judgment. And so when people feel really safe, they can say the things that they need to say and also bring forward some really brilliant things that are important for everyone to hear.
Now, what about if we are in a situation with someone who has hurt us or who has wronged us and we want to communicate with them? How do we keep it soul-centered in that situation?
Yeah, that can feel challenging for most people.
Yes.
But these skills can help you, bring you a sense of peace as you do so. If you look at the other person that you perceive has harmed you as a spirit who's had their own challenges and, you know, challenges that have caused them to have certain actions, you know, you can begin to have compassion. And I know for some people this will feel like a little bit of a stretch, but just just bear with me for a moment, because if you really look at these people, if you imagine a person who is a drug addict and commits murder, I mean, how much pain do you have to be in to become a drug addict and commit murder?
A lot.
And so, you know, if you can start to look at the person with that compassion, or at least an understanding of, okay, I understand they're kind of screwed up. You know, whoever this person is that may have hurt you, you know, like, okay, I get it. You know, this is just what they do, what they know how to do. That compassion can be very healing, maybe for them, but mostly for you. And it doesn't mean you condone what they did. It's like forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you're saying it's okay what happened. You're saying that, okay, I understand how this could happen, how they could feel that way, or how they could act that way. And I feel compassion for the fact that they felt they needed to do that. But I then get to make a separate choice as to how I want to view the world and move forward and whether or not I want to have them in my life. Like, I can have compassion for that drug-addicted person who committed murder, but I'm not going to choose them as my best friend.
No, right, okay.
They're two completely separate things.
And, two, one of the things that I hear you saying, too, is that we don't need to react to them in kind. In other words, if they are deeply hurt, or they've hurt us, they may be very well lashing out, I would think, verbally, and maybe even physically. And what I hear you saying is that we don't need to react to them in kind in order to communicate with them. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know, we have control over who we are and how we act, but not how they act. And when somebody is lashing out or behaving in a way that is hurtful, we can join them at that level of energy. But what does that really do? I mean, what does that do for us? Being right or being a victim isn't the answer. And so the most spiritual thing you can do is be in the loving. Be loving and just sit there and allow them to process. Or if you need to have a boundary and step away to take care of yourself, definitely do that.
Right, right.
And for some of us who are quite not there, and then what our choice can be is simply not to engage.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that one of the choices can be to step away, because I'm sure some of the listeners are thinking, but wait a minute, suppose this person is coming after you with a weapon or with, you know, some kind of implied threat or attack, you know, whether they have a weapon or not. Then what I heard you say was take care of yourself first, so you certainly need to...
Absolutely.
Step away. Get out of the way.
Don't stop that they're coming at you with a gun and saying, "Hi, I see you for the person and spirit you are." It doesn't quite have that much power. Take care of yourself first.
Yeah, right. Okay. But I would bet that most of us are in situations that aren't that dramatic yet, where we could engage with people who feel hurt or have hurt us. And, you know, we're not quite at that level where we have to duck physical harm. But there's so much we can do about creating this feeling of safety. You talk about being safe and listening deeply.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
One of the most powerful gifts you can give anyone is to truly listen to them and to listen deeply. I've been in workshop situations with people where we pair people off and one person listens for an extended period of time, maybe even an hour, and the other person just speaks. And the listener doesn't say anything. They just focus and listen. And what's really interesting is at the end, when you have people sharing what they gained from the exercise, you know, it's pretty obvious that the people who were listened to, you know, they will express that, you know, they feel deeply hurt and, you know, some will cry and it was very meaningful to them. But what's really interesting is you get the same reaction from the people who were the listeners. They will also be emotional and have deep experiences. So I feel like there's an epidemic of people just not feeling hurt. And so this is something that can be healing for our entire world.
This listening deeply, does this also involve the eye-to-eye contact that you mentioned when you're in person? And is it appropriate to make gestures or comments? I know, I'll give you an example. When I'm talking on the phone to someone, and I'm doing a lot of the talking, if I don't hear back from them some kind of I see or some kind, you know, grunt or some kind of noise, then I feel like they've trailed off. I don't feel like they're listening or they're still there. Is that appropriate to do in person as well?
As I think about it, I do believe I do some kind of acknowledgement that I'm listening, like a So I do. When it's in person, I tend to use a lot of eye contact, but you kind of go with whatever that person's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
People are comfortable on different levels. I often, and I don't do this, like, this isn't how, you know, the steps I take to do it, but what I'm remembering that I do is I kind of lean into the person. Facing them, I kind of lean in and they just give them a sense that I'm listening. Now, over the phone, I think we probably do need to give some visual cues once in a while. And it's also okay to ask a question that is specific for clarity, that's not a comment or anything, but you want to clarify that you're understanding, like, am I hearing you say, or what I heard was this, or, you know, just asking a question like that, or can you tell me a little more about that? But not when you're in this listening exercise mode, it's only about asking clarifying questions, not necessarily making comments or contributing when you're in the deep listening mode.
Okay. Yeah, that's important, the asking questions just for clarification, not for judgment, because it seems that if you ask a judgment type question, then you've just ended the communication.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you shut it down.
They no longer feel hurt. They might feel there's an agenda. And the
beauty right.
is letting them get it all out. Because once they get it all out, and I even say, even if I disagree, if I completely disagree with a person and I'm maybe angry with them even or something, I'll say, you know, okay, I heard you and I understand how you could feel that way. And those words seem to have hold a little magic because people tend to, that's what people want, and they mm-hmm. tend to relax when they hear that. And so if they've had an opportunity to really speak and get everything out on the table, and then you let them know you heard them and you understand, you know, how it is that they could feel that way, they relax and they're more open. You're not saying you agree with them.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
now it's probably your turn to speak. but as long as they feel heard and they feel understood in some way, once that's out there, they just open and you have a much better opportunity to communicate with them what your wishes and concerns are.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen in business. In particular, when someone calls for with a complaint, this happened to me when I had another business, and one of my clients called to complain about the service, and she was fired up. She was just going at it. So I just listened. You know, there was nothing for me to say because she had a lot of buildup, and she needed to get it all out. And without realizing what I was doing, you know, I was doing this soul-centered communication because I was putting myself in her place as someone who felt she wasn't getting what my service had promised her and let her really get it all out. And then what I said next to her when she did take a breath was, I'm so happy that you called to let me know how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And she was totally shocked. But I was, because part of what business needs to realize, people in business, is that you need to hear from people who are unhappy for whatever reason, you know, whether there's, mm-hmm. you know, justification, whether they are the one that has misused the service, whatever the case, you need to hear from them. You don't want to shut them off. It's better for them to call the owner and express that then to go on. Well, nowadays you can tweet it and go on Facebook and everywhere else, mm-hmm. and the problem doesn't get resolved that way.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity. Now, what if only one person in a conversation is practicing soul-centered communication? So, you know, the one person who's learned about it is practicing that, and the other person is lashing out and
yeah.
not seeming to hear and appreciate that they're being heard.
That's true. There are a lot of people who will not understand the gift they are being given. The soul-centered communication is also a spiritual process for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that's for them is that you're giving them the best opportunity for them to relate on a better level. But it's up to them. We have no control over what other people do. You know, it's up to them whether they see something, react differently, or even go, you know, a couple days later and go, huh, that was weird. What's going on there? And then have a realization. Sometimes mm-hmm. it takes a lot of modeling if you're working with family or children that you're around a lot of time. If you keep modeling this over a period of time, they'll start to learn what quality, respectful, loving communication feels like, and they may shift.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it happens over time. But what we're doing is giving them the absolute best opportunity. But the real opportunity here is for you, and I'm speaking to everyone in general,
mm-hmm.
is that you get to be proud of yourself and to feel empowered about the way that you are approaching things and handling the situation. You get to know that you're giving them that best opportunity, that you're being your best self, and in many cases, you get to have a sense of peace. peace and neutrality about the conversation, because if you practice soul-centered communication over a period of time, that's what happens. So the value of doing this is for both parties, and it goes way beyond just the simple conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought about as you were saying that was, was in a conversation where the person, the other party is talking about a third party. And I've had situations where I've interjected compassion for that third party that's being talked about or gossiped about or judged, and they're not even present to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's helpful to have compassion for that person, as Wayne Dyer said he said, who's speaking for this person? You know, who's speaking up for this person who's not here in this present moment? So I think in soul-centered communication, we can help even a person who's not present in a, you know, who's being gossiped or about or talked about by showing compassion and bringing that up, pointing that out to the person who's, you know, busy lambasting them or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I love that. That's a beautiful way to just let people know there's a different perspective to this story. And the other option is to step away, to not engage in the conversation. So, and that's what I tend to do, but I love what you're talking about, because there is, I think that I'm actually learning from you here, and I might do that and then step away. So thank you for that tidbit.
And you know what? It doesn't always work. I mean, it's to bring about the immediate result we would love to see happen. But it, like you said earlier, it makes us feel proud and empowers us, gives us a sense of peace, because you're no longer participating in this, you know, one-sided attack.
Right.
Instead, you're presenting a perspective that is not just, you know, being kind. It's true. There is another perspective. There's several perspectives, and that the person isn't considering. Now, but suppose we're in this situation, in this soul-centered communication conversation, and the other person gets upset. They start crying. They get angry. How do we best handle that?
The best thing to do is to allow them their process. I mean, we just talked a moment ago about the value of letting people kind of let off steam.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're angry, as long as you're safe and as long as it isn't a practice where a person always vents their anger at you or something, you know, then just let them vent that anger so that they can clear, and then once they clear, they may be open to more communication. If they begin crying or having some other type of emotional response, it's the very same thing. It's just let them move through it. You don't have to rescue them, but you can tell them that you're supporting them, that you're there, you know, just acknowledge it. And just let them move through it gracefully. A lot of people are uncomfortable with tears and anything like that. And I know I'm a little warped because I'm a coach, but over the years I've learned that that's one of the most beautiful things that can happen.
I think a lot of times when someone starts crying, we just immediately switch into that mode of don't cry, everything's going to be okay, that kind of old model that parents used to use.
Yeah.
And we, like you say, we want to rescue them, and somehow or another we feel that there's something we should do. And yet, that person is not going to cry forever. So if we let it go and let it flow and, like you say, support them, they will come out of it. And stopping it, to me, is more dangerous than letting it flow or trying to stop them from letting it flow.
Yeah, rescuing them, which I used to love to do, would interrupt the process, which means that they haven't processed whatever material it was that was going on, and so then it's still within them. And, you know, a lot of people bury things instead of crying. So crying is an opportunity for a person to to get some of that out, to free themselves and just express. And it really is a release. And so my belief now is that I don't want to interrupt that process. And I have some clients who cry a lot. I have some clients who come to me strictly for that type of healing. And you know, for it, in the beginning, their sessions seem to be all about them crying. And, you know, when they're doing it all the time, we do engage in some conversation on the call, too. But, I mean, this is what they do to heal.
Go ahead.
Oh, so there are ways of letting people know that you're respecting and there for them without jumping in and stopping or hindering their process.
When you mentioned your clients, it reminded me that I want you to have an opportunity to describe your services to my listeners so that they know what life coaching is. I think coaching is a term people equate with sports and things of that nature. Life coaching is relatively new in the scheme of things. So explain what you do and what kind of clients you serve. And then tell the listeners how they could reach you if what you offer is something they perceive a need for.
Great. Life coaching, if you were looking for a definition, is pretty much about co-creating or supporting people in reaching their goals and moving through the things that block them. And traditional life coaching is about what's happening right now and what you want to happen in the future. When you look at soul-centered coaching and more spiritual coaching or counseling, that includes what's happened in the past. And so, for instance, I might have a client that comes to me. Most of my clients come to me because there's some sense of unease, something's not working for them, or they just feel like there's more to life, or maybe there's an actual crisis. I also work with a lot of business clients that, you know, have difficulties within their businesses, and so they'll come for that reason. And, you know, we might start talking about business things or real life things in the coaching in the general coaching arena, which is very practical. And what I do is I can take that practical, and if I see something that's blocking them that's emotional, I can help them work with that also. So some clients come to me strictly for the emotional healing. Other clients come to me and we only talk business. And then there's all most of my clients where we just sort of flow back and forth and just navigate their life so that they can get to where they want to be and see what shows up and move through it. And I do this through one-to-one coaching, and I do that over the phone or in person, but by phone it's available nationwide. I do teleclasses. I'm just finishing up one this week on life renewal, and I just have the most amazing people show up for these classes. I love it. And then workshops, small groups, and I do go into businesses sometimes and do team meetings, customized team meetings. If anyone wants to meet me, just remember Life Coach Linda. I'm at lifecoachlinda.com. My email's linda@lifecoachlinda.com.
Okay.
My phone number is 714-282-0704. I'm on Facebook, Lasslander Linda Luke, L-U-K-E. And also, my blog is lifecoachlinda.wordpress. Imagine that. I must not be very creative about things like that.
Well, it's not time to be creative when you're naming all these things. It's helpful so people can remember.
Yeah. I also want to mention for everybody who hears this is that I do have an article that I wrote that goes into a little more detail and has a few more of the practical steps. And so if anybody is interested in receiving that, please contact me. I'd be happy to forward that to you.
Oh, okay. I want to go over the contact information again. LifeCoachLinda.com is your website?
Yes.
Okay. And they can put www in front of that if they want. I think they probably can get to it either way.
Yes.
And then your email? Is linda@lifecoachlinda.com?
Yes.
Okay. And then your phone number is 714? 282-0704, correct?
Perfect, perfect.
I like that you described life coaching as co-creating, because that tells me that the client will be working in cooperation with you and vice versa, that you're not going to tell the client what to do and or even pretend to have all the answers, that will be creating what comes up as you work through and process with them, correct?
Absolutely. One of my personal things, part of my business mission statement is I have it right in front of me. It says to support, Anyways, it says that I acknowledge or I know without a doubt that every person has all the skills and tools that they need within themselves. And so, like, I was just working with the client before this, and he goes, oh, you did this most incredible thing for me last week. And I said, well, wait a minute. Don't you remember you said those words first, which was we're talking about decisions being challenging, and so we shifted it to best guess, which is a couple of words he used. I said, I just took the words you used, dusted them off, put some icing on them, made them look pretty, and handed them back to you. But you just, you know, it's so hard to see. I mean, I have a coach because I don't have a clear perspective of my own life and work.
Right, right.
So it really helps to have that.
I think that's something that surprises a lot of people, is to realize that coaches have coaches, just as doctors, lawyers should have a doctor or lawyer that works with them. Because as one of my guests said one day, he's a motivational speaker, Chris Gloss, and he said that we all need coaches because it's difficult to see the picture when you're standing in the frame. And that to me described it so perfectly, that yes, you're able to help other people that are outside of yourself, but then when it's you, need someone outside of you to better see. Just like your client wasn't able to recognize that the solution was based on what he gave you in the first place, or what he expressed. Yeah, so it's very important.
Yeah, so true. That was beautifully said by Chris.
Yeah, I love that, and I just can't stress enough the importance of coaches. As a matter of fact, my youngest daughter is a counselor, and when I ask her questions that start to get too deep, she says, get a coach, get a counselor, get a therapist, because she's my daughter, and she can't help me either, you know, as a coach or client, as well as someone who's detached, because she's part of my world. And that's another thing that we have to recognize, you know, to find a qualified coach that we can work with. You have to pick someone you can resonate with. Do you have some kind of complimentary session or something that people could take or to get to decide to work with you?
The initial phone call is free. It includes some coaching and getting to know each other and, you know, getting a feel if it feels right. I haven't had very many people, you know, think it didn't feel right, because what most people express is they feel safe with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that seems to be the biggest thing. But I want to make sure that I will be able to support the client too. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of other really great coaches. So if somebody comes to me, and this has happened, you know, where I have coaches, friends who do specialties like sobriety coaches and certain types of business and things like that. And so if I feel that someone else may be best, I will give the person a choice.
That's wonderful. That's very important also, because we do need to feel safe and we do need to resonate with the coach, because I think that's how our growth will be accelerated. I want to talk a bit about honoring the other person. We've talked about that a little bit already. How do we make sure we get heard?
Yeah, see, that's the interesting thing. We can't guarantee that, because we have no control over the other person. But what we can do is communicate very clearly. We can help them clear whatever their energy is, you know, if they have anger or emotion, we can listen, we can put them in the absolute best state possible for hearing us, and then we communicate very clearly. And what I always think of it is, I think it's really important to express yourself authentically, and that's not always comfortable because we know sometimes that sets us up for conflict if we say what's true for us. Doesn't mean we have to say everything. We don't have to spill our guts and say, oh, and by the way, 2 years ago, and, you know. But in that moment, whatever the subject matter is, I think it's very important to express yourself authentically and say what's really true for you, and also very clearly. And it helps to keep it simple. You know, the more words you throw in, the more opportunity for things to get confused.
That's true.
Sometimes when we don't feel heard ourselves, we have a tendency to repeat ourselves. I know I do this. And that kind of muddies it up a little bit, too. So it's all about being really clear, really simple, and speaking what's absolutely true for you, no matter how scary it is. Because if you don't, you might get to keep the relationship or you might get what you want in the moment, but you'll always wonder and you'll always feel like something's off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you aren't truly being yourself.
So we need to find out what's true for us and what it means to be authentic in order for us to be able to express this. And I bet you can help us with that in coaching.
I could. And another clue is in your body. Your body's a really good sounding tool for that. If you're angry, your stomach will burn. And, you know, if you're hurt, you will feel heaviness in your heart. And we all get those feelings, like if somebody's saying, I think we should go to this event, and you don't want to go to that event. Whether you notice or not, you get a clue in your body that tells you, like, I don't think so. I'm not sure I want to do that. And so it's listening to that, too, you know, learning to really listen to those clues. But, yes, I can help people learn how to tap into that. Yeah, it's a little more than just that, but that's an excellent.
Sure.
Great.
Now, excuse me, I want to get this in before we have 2 minutes left, so that's why I'm rushing. How do we resolve differences with soul-centered communication? Because you just mentioned that when we honor the other person and you listen to them and we express ourselves authentically, there's no guarantee that we're actually going to be heard by the other person or that we're going to resolve anything. So how do we use this to resolve differences?
Right. Now, definitely the first step is letting them be heard and clearing their energy and then speaking very clearly. And hopefully someone will express that they heard you. And if they don't, that's okay too. The next thing, if it's a real disagreement on an issue, is to see if there's one small compromise you can offer to meet them partway. And then ask them for, you know, okay, if I do this, is there something you could do to meet me in the middle?
Okay.
And so that is generally how it works, because if you're both, you know, like absolutely yes, no, neither one of you is going to get your way in anyways. So if you can find a small compromise to offer and then ask them to meet you in the middle, that tends to be the best opportunity.
That's wonderful. This has been so helpful, Linda. As we near the end of today's show, I want to urge all of the listeners who have been enlightened, encouraged, empowered by today's episode to share what you've learned with your family and colleagues and encourage them, and you may do so also, to come back and get the full episode. The recording will be available in the archives shortly after the show ends, so you can actually listen to this again. You don't have to memorize everything Linda said. So be sure to return to blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can download the episodes you've just heard. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes for the future so that it'll automatically go into your iTunes account. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I want to thank those of you who listened after the recording was done and invite you to join me again next Monday, October 18th, 2010 at 11 a.m. for another exciting and inspiring show. In the meantime, of course, I'm going to tell you to have a blessed week, and I'm going to encourage you to color your life happy.